Verse 5, and I'm going to get out of your way. And he shook off the beast into the fire, and he felt no harm. God's divine protection. And then look, God's divine purpose. The reason he didn't feel harm. We got to look at, he shook off the beast. He shook it off. Paul said, I'm going to shake this off. And some of us, we don't shake it off. We walk around and look what happened. Look, he owned me. And we want to tell everybody what the devil, and we testify the devil did this. The devil woke me up last night. The devil did, well, maybe it was God waking you up so that you could pray. I believe it was Shug Avery in The Color Purple said, if you can't sleep at night and you wonder why, maybe God is trying to tell you something.
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT, praising the Lord.
Jesus. Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Inside, come on now.
Won't he make you clean?
Inside, won't he make you clean? His word washes us. We know this to be true. Come on, say it with me.
Won't he make you clean?
Simple little song. That's the word. Inside. Some of you looking so good on the outside, but it's what matters on the inside. Bible says man looketh on the outer appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Hey, you ought to ask your neighbor, is your heart clean? Oh, come on, don't be scared of him. Ask him, is your heart clean? I was out of town the other day, and some young brothers were walking by, and I was dressed in the custom of my usual wear. And we were getting in the elevator, and the brother said, man, you are casket clean. I said, casket clean? I said, if I understand casket clean, it means when you're dead and laid out there looking your best. He said, no, man, I don't mean it like that. That's an old saying that means you sharp. And I thought about it. You know, how many folk are sharp on the outside, casket clean, but the heart is dirty and corrupt and unclean. And I just want you to know today that the Lord will make you clean, won't he?
Won't he make you clean?
Inside. Won't he make you clean? Thank you, Jesus. And one more time.
Won't he make you clean inside? Won't he make you clean inside?
Praise the Lord. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, as we turn our attention to your word now, let the Holy Ghost do as only he can. Let him unfold this text, meet us where we are, lift us to the place that you'd have us to be for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 38. Isaiah, chapter 38. I want to commence reading at verse 15. Here is the story of Hezekiah's life that's been extended as told by Isaiah. And verse 15 says, "What shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me, and himself hath done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. O Lord, by these things men live, and in all these things is the life of my spirit. So wilt thou recover me and make me to live. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. For thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. For the grave cannot praise thee, death cannot celebrate thee. They that go down into the pit cannot hope for thy truth. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The father to the children shall make known thy truth. The Lord was ready to save me. Therefore, we will sing my songs to the stringed instruments all the days of our life in the house of the Lord." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, the hearers, and more especially the doers of his holy word. Just want to talk about loved and lifted. Loved and lifted. I want you to see the account of this story, just so that if you're not familiar with it, you'll get a better understanding, beginning at verse 1 of the 38th chapter of Isaiah. "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death," which meant literally that he was on the verge of dying. Dying and death were imminent in his situation. "And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto" who?
The Lord.
"The Lord." Listen to what the word says. "And said," here is where his 30-word prayer begins, "Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Look at how short his prayer was. Look at how succinct his prayer was. Look at how sincere his prayer was. And in those 30 words, when he said what he had to say to the Lord, the record is he wept sore. Verse 4, "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying," this is the same Isaiah that went to Hezekiah, told him get his house in order, he was going to die and not live. He's on his way out the door, making it now into the courtyard. The Bible says, "Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayers." Listen at this. "I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. Now, Hezekiah writes a little bit about this beginning at verse 9. Bible says, the writing of Hezekiah, king of Judah, when he had been sick and was recovered of his sickness. Verse 10 says, I said, in the cutting off of my days, I shall go to the gates of the grave. I am deprived of the residue, the rest of my years. I said, I shall not see the Lord, even the Lord in the land of the living. I shall behold man no more with the inhabitants of the world. Mine age is departed and is removed from me as a shepherd's tent. He's saying, listen, the Lord has already told me pack up my tent, and like this life, I've rolled up my tent getting ready to march away. He says, I have cut off like a weaver my life. He will cut me off with pining sickness. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. I reckoned till morning that as a lion, so will he break all my bones. From day even to night wilt thou make an end of me. Like a crane or a swallow, so did I chatter. I did mourn as a dove. Mine eyes failed with looking upward. O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Now look at verse 15, because here's where I want to begin. What shall I say? What shall I say? Now I want to read this from the 15th verse on down in the Message Bible. Look at what it says. But what's the use? God himself gave the word. He's done it to me. I can't sleep. I'm that upset, that troubled. My brothers and sisters, if you've ever gotten news so horrific, so conclusive, so final as death is coming within a certain period of time, get yourself together, get your business together, because you will not live, you will surely die. Here, this man is saying, I was so upset, I couldn't sleep, I was so troubled, I was tossing and turning, my eyes were hurting from looking up for help, and no help was coming. And listen to this, all of this was said, but in the midst of seeing all of these things, hearing all of these things, experiencing all of these things, he finally realized that when he turned it over to the Lord and gave it totally to him, it was the Lord's doing, and only the Lord could undo it. You see, sometimes when we get bad news, we run to the wrong people. Sometime when news hits our lives and seem to immediately devastate us, we look to all of the wrong people in all of the wrong places, when the truth of the matter is the only one who can truly change what has been said is God. Now here is his claim. I really know this thing is messed up because God, the one I'm praying to, is the one who said it. All right. Man has not done this.
Oh, yes.
God has done this. But listen at this. Show you the power of prayer and show you that God gives you with the faith that you believe in the God who is able to do and undo whatever he so chooses. If you believe in him, here's what he brings back to God's remembrance. And brothers and sisters, this is so important, because when you pray to God, I want you to note here, Isaiah recorded what Hezekiah said again. Let's go back into the word, because the Bible says again, verse 3, 38 verse, and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee how I have walked, past tense, before thee in what?
Truth.
And with a what kind of heart?
Perfect
heart. And have done that which is what?
Good
in thy sight. And what did he say about healing me? What did Hezekiah say about healing me? Not a single word. Now, I'm not saying you can't tell God to heal you and tell God to deliver you, and he will and he'll hear you. But hear what this man said. God, remember, I walked right before you. I did that was right in truth. He just began to say before God, God, I lived a godly life, and it seems you're cutting me off prematurely. Listen, my brothers and sisters, Didn't take but 30 words. And while he prayed that, he did all he could do. The natural nature kicked in. He began to weep sorely. Because at this point, it's all in God's hands. Now, can I tell you, before you go to weeping sorely, do your part. Do your part. God will know the tears are sincere after you've done your part. He was saying, listen, man, my days are going to be cut off prematurely. Something is wrong with this picture. I just can't accept it. I know it came from the Lord, but I got more life to live than this. This is not the end. And sometimes, my brothers and sisters, when you have walked before the Lord, you have the right, according to God's word, to bring back to his remembrance what he has said, his word to you. Listen, God may have been testing Hezekiah to see whether or not he was going to accept this message of death prematurely or whether or not he was going to call God's hands. Can I tell you, if God promised he's going to do some stuff through you, it's up to God to fulfill his promise. You didn't make the promise. God made the promise. And if death tried to come and take you before God's promise is made, you can call him up and say, Father, I ain't through with what you said I was going to do. So how can death come now and take me before what I have completed that you promised I would do has come? All right. Well, whatever the issue was, Hezekiah told it to the Lord. He didn't tell it to Isaiah. He didn't call the queen in. He didn't call his children in. He didn't call the wise men in. He didn't call anybody in. He turned his face to the wall and talked to the Lord. Tell your neighbor, be careful who you talk to about dire issues. You got some people who say, wait a minute now, that was the prophet of the Lord. Said, the Lord told me to tell you, get your house in order. You shall die and not live. What you gonna do? But get your house in order. Make sure your will is straight. Make sure everything is like it ought to be, because you're getting ready to die, man. The prophet said, God said that. Now, he didn't take any issue with the prophet. So I want to throw this out parenthetically. If you don't like the mail God sends you, don't bother me. I'm just the mailman. I'm just delivering it. I didn't write the mail. It's God. Take it up with God. He turned his face to the wall, talked with God, didn't talk with Isaiah, the mailman. He's on his way out the door. Hezekiah's talking to the Lord. When he's through talking with the Lord, he's weeping out of his soul because, listen, I don't care how holy you are, unless you have lived your days to its fullest terms, you ain't really ready to leave here. I mean, you may be prepared to leave here. But you ain't ready to leave here. I don't want nobody to think I'm that holy. I am prepared to go if God should call me today. But I'm going to make it classically crystal clear that I ain't ready to go today. My bags ain't packed to go today. I ain't got no reservation to go today. I ain't trying to go today. But just let them know I am prepared. I wish I had a helper in the house. Some of you look like, Lord, come Jesus, take me now. That's you. God bless you. I'll be glad to do the service. Speak well about you if I can. But Hezekiah didn't feel death coming right now. Now, I want to move forward because I want you to see this. Verse 15 says, what shall I say? He hath both spoken unto me and himself hath done it. So then when you get to this point where you realize, wait a minute, what really can I say beyond what I've already said? God has issued the warning and God has done it himself. Well, here's the glory of the gospel. If God said it and if God did it, then God has the power to undo it or to change it around. Listen at what he says. He says, and himself had done it. I shall go softly all my years in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, Master, these are the conditions in which people live, the Message Bible says. And yes, in these very conditions, my spirit is still alive, fully recovered with a fresh infusion of life. Can I tell you, when this man got the news, as Isaiah comes back, turn around, and tells him God has heard his prayer, is extending his life 15 years, is going to deliver him and his city and protect it, this man had a new infusion of life. Man, when God brings you back from the brink of death, when you've come close with kissing death and you realize God has spared you, man, what a turnaround in your life. That man, he puts all of the stuff in you that makes life worth living. So many of us have lost the joy of living, the passion for living. Always sour, always sorry, always sad, head always down, always complaining, nothing good to look forward to, nothing good to say, always looking like something is wrong. It bothers me that folk don't see God in every situation and in control of every situation, and if they would simply trust him. Man, it doesn't matter what man says. Doesn't matter what you're going through. What matters is what you're going to. And everything you go through is helping you get closer to what you're going to. So there ought not be a reason you can't ever give God praise and thanksgiving and recognize he's defining you. He is making you all that you ought to be for what he has purposed your life to become. This man has an infusion of passion and power and purpose in his life. You kind of get that way like an instant when you know your life could have been taken from you. I don't care how sleepy you are behind the wheel and you fall asleep, and when you go off and realize you could have gone off a bridge, run into another car, gotten killed, there's an immediate infusion of life. You wake up, I mean, it's like you sit up, you shake yourself. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord, you didn't let this thing happen to me. And in that instance, that infusion of life is just but a glimpse of how God really feels the person who knows what new life, renewed life, and restored life is all about in him. You start living life on a higher level. You start appreciating stuff you didn't appreciate and had taken for granted. Yeah, it's better than being in love. The grass is greener. The skies are bluer. I mean, the flowers are sweeter. And all of that you did not appreciate before, you begin to appreciate on a whole nother level. Because when you understand that life is the evidence of God on the inside of you, but for believers, it's more abundant. The world is alive, but they don't really have life. Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that more abundantly. Listen, you can be on cloud 9 without a penny in your pocket if you belong to the Lord. Because here's what you know, without a penny in your pocket, he's going to meet every need you've got. He's going to bring joy in your heart. He's going to work situations out. He's going to turn things around. He's going to do what he's got to do, and it don't always take money to do it. One of the greatest things that you can have is the joy of the fellowship of the Lord that rich men can't buy. The Spirit of God, which men cannot purchase. And it's free to the believer. And so until he works things out, he first works on you. And you're going around because he's giving you a glimpse of what your future is like. And you look like someone on skid row, someone poverty stricken. Don't look like you're going nowhere. Don't look like you're ever going to amount to anything. Don't look like you're going to amass a fortune. But the Lord spoke to you. Spoke through the man or the woman of God and told you, I'm going to do this. And prophetically gave you a word that will give you life and that more abundant. And you received it in your spirit and you begin to walk in it even when it doesn't look like it in the flesh. And so your attitude changes. all that you then begin to desire changes, and it's about what God wants and God desires and how God wants you to act and react and move and flow in it. Not what man says.
That's right.
Not what man thinks.
Yes.
But God. Move down in the word with me because I want you to see some more. He says, again, in the Message Bible, what's the use? God himself gave me the word. He's done it to me. I can't sleep. I'm that upset, that troubled. Then he says, oh, master, these are the conditions in which people live. And yes, in these very conditions, my spirit is still alive. God speaks, men live. God speaks, men die. In the midst of what God spoke, his spirit was alive. He recognized that he had the ability to call on God to receive what God had for him. God fully recovered him and gave him a fresh infusion of life. In the midst of life, we are in death. But the truth of the matter is, in the midst of death, we are in life. If we belong to the Lord. Listen at this word. Listen at this word. It says, it seems it was good for me to go through all those troubles. Now, it's amazing now how hindsight is 20/20. Whole lot of you, while you're going through, how many of you say, it's good for me to go through these troubles? Now, while we may know it, because the word says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. We know this, but how many of us really declare this when we're going through? It's not natural to say it's good for me to go through these troubles, because it's something that kicks against the natural nature of man. What the flesh counts as bad, the spirit counts as good, because it's a part of God's plan of working things out and developing and defining you to make you everything God wants you to be. So sometimes he can't do it with all good things. He's got to let you go through a little trouble to temper you. See, sometimes he need a little fire to melt you down. You get too hard-hearted and you get too caught up in your own self. Sometimes he needs some fiery situations to melt you down and take a different form and shape concerning your thinking. See, some of you know, you think the world spin around you. And it don't matter about nothing and nobody else. It's all about you. And sometime God wants you to know, no, it ain't all about you. And you like, oh, really, God? And God say, let me show you better than I can tell you. And God humbles you through trouble. God humbles you through trials. God humbles you through tribulation. Have you ever looked in your life and looked back in your life and saw a time in your life where you said, you'll never do this? Because you thought yourself so much. And since S comes before T in the alphabet, I thought I'd say so instead of two. But truly, I meant you thought yourself too much. And God just let time and life and trouble show up at your doorstep. And what you said you wouldn't do in the haste of your arrogance, God now makes you look in the mirror and say, Lord, I never thought I would have done that. Can he humble you? Well, for those of you who've never had that experience, keep on living. Because God will allow trouble to change your mind, change your attitude, change your position on matters when you miss what God is trying to do in your life. So listen at this. When we look at this word and we see this, he says, throughout them all you held tight to my lifeline. Throughout them all, every trouble, every trial, you held tight to my lifeline. You never let me tumble over the edge into nothing. But then this is what he says at the end of this verse. But my sins you let go of. Listen at this. The King James Version says, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. God said, listen at this, because I've redeemed your life, because I've restored you, because I've added to your life, because I've infused new life in you, shown you your purpose, which is